The psychedelic revolution is here. If you want to integrate your visionary experiences into your purpose, get clear on your entrepreneurial path, and help people while you do what you love, then this podcast is for you. Welcome to The Psychedelic Entrepreneur, Medicine for These Times. I'm your host, Beth Weinstein. I'm a spiritual business coach, three-time entrepreneur, and a lifelong student of psychedelics and sacred plant medicines. You carry your own unique medicine, and your medicine is what we need for these times. This podcast will help you to share your medicine so you can create transformation in the world. Listen in on conversations with psychedelic leaders, changemakers, and conscious entrepreneurs who are living proof that a better world is possible when you follow your heart and live in alignment with your soul. I'm curious who or if your path of where you are now, was it shaped by psychedelics? Like, do you feel that some part of your soul, and I put that in quotes because, you know, I believe in the soul, some people don't, but do you feel that some part of your soul was woken up by the medicine path or a similar consciousness expansion type path? I'm curious. And if so, you know, like maybe share a little bit about it.
I'll answer that first. Absolutely. For me, I struggled with addiction for a really long time. And I had addictions to alcohol, sex, food, drugs, love. Like, what can you be addicted to? I was addicted to it. And I got sober at Burning Man, actually, which is not a fun thing to do at Burning Man. I wouldn't recommend it.
Jim.
But it like going to that event actually set me on this sort of transformational path. And the meetings I had worked with mushrooms, you know, recreationally or whatever, but they were starting to get like more and more dark and difficult every time I would meet with them. And after I quit drinking, I ended up traveling in South America, like following a guy there. However, I had no idea how I was going to get down to South America, but ayahuasca had a plan for me. And I ended up like having a really difficult experience and getting left there alone by this guy that I was with. And I ended up deciding on my 40th birthday that I was going to spend the next year falling in love with myself and healing my trauma. And like, why do I keep ending up in places like Machu Picchu getting dumped at this height of this, you know, dramatic experience? And later that year, I started working with ayahuasca in San Pedro, and it just like clicked, like something with these medicines really speaks to me. And it feels like my family, like my grandmother and my grandfather are talking to me with, you know, through these medicine carriers and the traditions. And I think for me, it like woke up something old in me and helped me remember who I really am. And from there, I wanted to help as many people have that experience as I could. So that's why I started doing integration work.
Thank you so much for sharing that. It's pretty deep. You know, I do believe, and I'm sure everybody here is going to tell a similar story, that we go through these life paths, you know, these dark nights, these initiations, these challenges, in order to get us to this place of to be of service, which of course the challenges don't end, right? Like, I don't know, show me a human being without a challenge. I would love to meet them. But we do get to a place where it's like, oh, okay, the healing path becomes a path of service as well. Christina, yeah, do you want to share as well?
Yeah, I have always been on the path of trauma healing. It's something that I've been passionate about since I was really young. And as any of us in the healing field, it's, you know, in the attempt to heal our own wounds, to try to understand myself, to try to understand a number of pieces. And it has just always been a path for me. So becoming a therapist and then getting into even the somatic healing, which has been profound for me. So all the different modes that I've learned along the way have been really healing. They all have offered something. And then for me, the process that led me to psychedelics was really my own desperation, which often can be the case, right? We're in a place of just desperately trying to, and I'd done all of the leading edge innovative trauma healing modalities, was trained in a lot of them, and still just couldn't quite figure my way through some things. And my first ceremony, intentional ceremony, was with Aya, and had a really, of course, profound experience. And I remember just thinking, I am home with this medicine, because it opened up a whole world of working with trauma and working with my own authenticity and ego, working with the things that get in our way, that, you know, I love the clinical work of trauma healing. I love neurobiology. I love studying all of that. And I've studied. And then you bring in psychedelics, which is just a whole nother massive many layers of work that you can do to pull those pieces apart, to understand what needs to shift, to learn how to be in an embodied state, to learn how to move through and heal. And so then in my own experience with psychedelics, I went through dark night of the soul fracturing, these things that I hadn't really known much about until I went through them. And it's been a process with plant medicine and traditional modalities of just bringing myself back together in a way that was more whole and authentic. And so for me, the psychedelics was a very surprise piece that showed up for me in my work. And now I'm just incredibly passionate about it because of the amount of healing that can be done and that I get to see happen with clients daily with this work. And so I've always been on this path, but I sure didn't know it was going to end up with psychedelics. And that's a really fun surprise.
Thank you for sharing. I love it. Yeah. And I'm sure there's people watching saying the same thing, because I mean, I didn't know either, you know. It's like there was just this calling, and there's a calling and a calling. And it's kind of, I think for a lot of people, they experience this feeling, which I had, and I'm sure you guys had, where if you don't start to answer the call, or at least explore the call, like, it will either eat you alive, or the universe will put other things in the way that direct you on your path. And then that's usually the harder way. Anyone else? Any connection between psychedelics, Jonathan? Yeah.
Yeah, I can share. I didn't put this together till like about a year ago, but I ended up leaving an abusive marriage that I was in for many, many years at the end of 2018. And about a year ago, I found a journal that I had, like an integration journal that I had kept from this major mushroom experience that I had had less than a few weeks before I actually left my wife. And when I was going back and reading through the things that had come up, there were like seeds that I could see had grown out of this major experience. But like reading it, it was like, oh yeah, I'm ready to leave my wife. That wasn't active in my mind. Like, I didn't come out of that journey like, okay, I have to leave this marriage. But there was things about healing my relationship with my dad and with another friend that just like had kind of outgrown itself. And so it was like really amazing to look back at this, you know, this piece of integration that like record that I had, and been like, wow, like look at all this stuff that's been happening kind of in the background the whole time. And actually, you know, even though psychedelics weren't the reason that like specifically that I left that marriage, sort of the straw that broke the camel's back was talking about like that mushroom experience. And like prior to that happening, it was something that I was like kind of having to do in secret. You know, I had like 1 to 2 times a year when I would have like the house to myself, and I would go on these like 5-gram deep dives, you know, and like try to work on myself, because it wasn't something that my partner was comfortable with. And yet it was something that was giving me a lot of benefit. It was something that was helping me, even though I didn't really understand what integration was or, you know, anything like about that. It was, the medicine was already leading me in this holistic direction. And so after, you know, after I left that situation and started to do a lot of, you know, soul searching about myself, the first thing was like, well, I need to figure out how to fix these things so that I'm not putting myself back in the same situation again. And that was where like the exploration of myself through psychedelics really opened up and like came into this whole new chapter, you know? So yeah, I would definitely say that psychedelics led me into the path that I'm in right now.
Oh my God, these stories. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's incredible. And yeah, everybody, it's like all the same, right? The same theme here. It's the soul coming through, asking for something else, but at least that's what I believe. Brew, you want to share?
Yes, this is such a fun and juicy topic. I'm like so excited talking about it. Yeah, it's funny because I had actually been approached for years about working with psychedelics, and I was always like, no, not for me, no, like it just never felt right. And what it took was actually bringing my son to his friend's birthday party, and at the house where they were having their little celebration, the mom was like, hey, come here. I mean, I live in LA, so the mom was like, hey, come here, and brought me into this like back house where they were doing a bufo ceremony, and I like literally walked into it. So that was the medicine found me. But I am so grateful. I feel so privileged, like so much gratitude, because as I know everyone here knows so deeply in your heart and soul and your being, these medicines are catalyzers. And I was definitely already on a spiritual path. I would say I had kind of like a spiritual awakening back in 2012. But what I now realize is that it was fairly shallow, right? The depth that I was capable of going, I was doing a lot of well-meaning. I'm not like shaming myself or judging myself, but I was doing a lot of like spiritual bypassing, and I wasn't looking at the deeper stuff. And when I started working with the medicine, it took me right there. And my life has completely transformed. I mean, I only started working with the medicine like under 3 years ago. And in that time, like so much has transformed. It's mind blowing. And, you know, I don't think I want to say this clearly, because I think this is a misconception. I don't think it's the medicine alone. The medicine doesn't do the work for you. It just unearths stuff. It brings it to the surface. And then it's, of course, what you do with what comes up. And that's why it's so important to have people in your corner, like the amazing people on this panel, to hold you and support you through that integration journey. Because I'd argue that the integration is more important than the actual journey itself. But one of the things that came through in my work was that I couldn't stay in the career that I was in. I was in a completely misaligned career. I was working in finance, and I am still connected to that industry. I still have, you know, a business in that industry, but this medicine just said, look, like you have to work in your heart and your soul's true path, like exactly what Beth's program is all about. You need to be in your soul's purpose. And it was like unbearable to not do that anymore. And so I owe it all to the medicine to be doing what I'm doing and to be in this soul and heart aligned path. So, so grateful.
Mm. Thank you. Wow. That is a new one to being bufo at a birthday party. Who knew? But it's LA, you know. no joking, you know, LA. But thank you so much for sharing that, because you just said it right there. It is the integration. It's not the psychedelic. It's the day-to-day. It's the support. It's having people like this in your life. You know, I personally can attest to this. My life before the integration work and my life after the integration work. And it's a completely different world. You know, there's psychedelics, there's spiritual experiences. It's amazing. But when you take it that step further, to me, it's where the true, like actual, you know, healing and change and transformation occurs. And then we can start to put into, you know, like a path of service or something even bigger, something beyond what you ever expected. And it can grow so exponentially, you know, like all of you, this is all these stories are all quite recent, you know, in the grand scheme of things. You know, Maitre, did you want to share about this as well? Or yeah.
So I'm going to bring in kind of an older thread to all of these recent stories. Psychedelics came into my life when I was 15. I had I had had an excellent, like very progressive liberal education and upbringing with a lot of like time in the wild thrown in there. And then I my mom moved us to a kind of regular town, and I started going to a regular high school. And as soon as I got there, I was like, fuck this place. And I found somewhere else to go. And in that other place I found to go, I discovered LSD. So I got my first LSD trip when I was 15, and I was like, this is real. And this is where I want to be. So I spent loads of time in my formative years in psychedelic space. And then I think it was Sinclair who mentioned that at some point, even the mushrooms started to turn dark. And I had this moment with the mushrooms where I had this really clear conversation with what I now call the niños, because of, you know, going through the consciousness medicine school. The niños were like, okay, look, we are here to show you something that exists inside yourself. It exists. It's there. It's yours. You don't need us to get there. We just show you that it's there. And then your job is to make the path to that place on your own. But the more you rely on us to take you there, the less available that path becomes to you. So as I carried on in my own life, I spent many years not doing altering substances because I spent so many years doing them when I was young. When I came back to what we call the medicine path now, I came to it with this like really, really deep moderation at the forefront of, I go to this place when this is what I actually need. And I don't go before I've done the work with what I know I'm walking with. And once I go, I do the work that I get handed in that time. So, you know, I go when I'm like stuck on something, and I've worked it every way from Sunday and I can't get through it. And it's really clear that it's broad level help. I go to the medicine space with that deep prayer, like, help me see my way through this. And then whatever happens there, all the pleasure, all the play, all the challenge, all the everything, all the healing that happens in there, all the messages, I take those messages out into my life and I work them every day from thence on. Like right now, this year, I had a ritual. I created a 3-day ritual for myself on my birthday because it was a threshold birthday. I was crossing phase from one part of my life to another. I created this 3-day ritual. I did a medicine ceremony in the middle of it. I got this enormous broad spectrum download of teachings, and I've been working those teachings ever since. And now it's, 9 months later? So it's a full gestation cycle. It's about 9 months later. Now the medicine is like, okay, come back. You're ready for the next. So now in like the next week, I'm going to go for another retreat, go for another immersion. But I would say that in the course of this story, the way that psychedelics has shaped my path is that they came into my life when I hit up against this wall at a point when I had very little power. I was a teenager, you know, and I hit up against this wall and I was like, no, this isn't real. This isn't where I want to be. This isn't true for me. And then psychedelics came in and said, try this path. And it gave me a way to walk towards something truer. And then it showed me really clearly that this is part of an entire way of living. This is not the platform for your life. This is an aspect of an entire way of living that is about cultivating soul, that is about relating to the stages and the phases and the experience of your life as an initiatory process, so that every time you meet something of magnitude, that deeper part of you can step forward and come to life. And so psychedelics for me support that process. And even though I work with psychedelics in my coaching, I don't lead with that in my marketing because I don't want people to come to me for that. You know, I want you to come for the initiation. I want you to come for the awakening. I don't want you to come for the medicine, because now the medicine is such a hot topic. Everyone's like, oh, that's going to fix me. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to help you transform if you do the work, the integration, the joy, the play. If you let it transform you, and you really participate in the transformation in the most life-giving way you know how to, and do work for you. I don't live with that, but it's there. And I'm like, if you want this piece, it's there and we can do it. And there are times when I'm like, I think this piece would really support you right now if that's alive for you too. So that's how psychedelics have played into my journey. Thanks for hearing it.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds exactly like pretty much every interview, podcast, summit interview I do that really comes back to this place of it's not the psychedelics doing it or fixing it or showing you. It's like, yes, there's illuminations. Yes, there's visions. Yes, there are challenges to get through. But really, it's all inside of you. This is why my next thing is called You Are the Medicine. You know, it's like we are carrying all our unique soul blueprint. And what I'm referring to is like your own unique medicine. And yes, these psychedelics can help bring it to surface. And yes, they can get us through healing the traumas and diving deep into the darkness that we were avoiding and bypassing all along in order to then process through it with the support of others. Because I don't know, it's a little hard to process through a lot of this stuff on your own. I don't know, maybe people are good at doing it. I never was, but I always needed support. But then you're able to open up and become this clear channel for your soul to come through, for your divine blueprint to manifest in this 3D reality that we do live in. You know, as much as people identify as 5D, we are still here on Earth. There is still work to do. There is still putting things out there and helping one another and creating something, you know, in this tangible, you know, we are creative beings in this tangible plane. So this is, my next question is about starting up your business. So, you guys, you know, some here have been at it for a while and some are very new and some are kind of a mix. And some kind of still cross over into the, like keep a job, but start a business, which by the way, that's what I teach and that's what I recommend for pretty much everybody. I did it that way. Most entrepreneurs have to either work a job or, you know, their other business while they're starting up a new thing. Very few people are able to just like quit and start from scratch. If you are, God bless you all. But I want to ask about this. You know, the question that's coming through is kind of like, when was the moment when, or what was it like when your soul was kind of just saying like, I have to go do this. Like, I can't live this other way any longer. Or, you know, like kind of for me, I remember there was this feeling where it just felt like it started to become kind of like, well, death was looking more promising. Like I was kind of at that point of like, I cannot do this anymore. What's the point of living if I'm just going to be miserable all the time? And so I kept feeling this feeling in me that felt like my soul eating me alive, where I knew if I didn't just try to start up my dream business, which at the time was a different business, I knew if I didn't try it, like I would not be able to like keep living. And I'm curious, you know, do any of you have similar stories where there was this like breaking point of like, you know what, let me just go try it? Or did your path take you some other way to starting a business?
I can share.
Yeah.
For me, it really was actually just like following the string of my own personal journey. And the more and more that I was healing and doing my own work, the more I wanted to share it. And so it wasn't like there was this like one sudden moment. It was over the course of a couple years that I just like was slowly phasing out of what I was doing. And just from passion, just from like devotion, wanting to give my energy to my heart's true calling. So like I said before, the medicine made it unbearable. Like it really made it unbearable to stay in that paradigm. I just couldn't anymore. So I don't know if there was like one aha specific moment, but it was over the course of time of just like doing my own personal work. And I think every person who steps into this type of coaching has a moment where they're like, okay, I mean, I'm never going to be healed. I still have, this is going to be a lifelong journey of healing and evolving, but I feel like I got a really good chunk of the work out of the way. And now it feels like I would be suffocated if I wasn't now sharing it. you know? So it's like you go, you take that step from being someone who's like receiving to now wanting to share and give and expand and create. So it was pretty quick, because a couple of years is a quick amount of time, but it wasn't like one sudden moment for me.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing. And I just want to repeat what you said. Brew and Maitreya both used the word paradigm, or, you know, like way of life, because that's how I see it as well, is when you're stepping onto this path of service, it's like, to me, especially if you're here in the US or you grew up in a very traditional Western, you know, like setting, which I think a lot of us, most of us did, where we were kind of programmed a certain way. Life is this way. You go get a job, you make ends meet, you get a white picket fence type house, blah, blah, blah. You know, we are all programmed to believe that it has to be a certain way. You know, even people that came from entrepreneurial families are still programmed with certain, you know, programming, like you must work hard or you must suffer or money doesn't grow in trees or whatever it is. And really, when you're stepping onto this heart-centered path of soul-level service, like all of you and all my clients and the work I do and a lot of you in this group, what happens is it's a completely different way of living and seeing the world, you know? And it is from this deeper place of what I would call like a soul level mission of like, why are you incarnated here at this time? Like, it's not just about, oh, I'm here to make money so I can buy things on Amazon and own a nice car. I mean, you guys hear me make fun of buying things on Amazon a lot. No judgments, but still Amazon. But really, it's really this whole entirely different way of being, which I believe is the path of the heart. I'm curious, anyone else want to share about their path and just knowing that you have to give this a try? Sinclair, yeah, go ahead.
So I had a kind of weird experience because I quit my career in nonprofit. I went to Burning Man, I came home and I did what you're not supposed to do, which is quit. I just was like, I can't anymore. I can't pretend. Like, I can't pretend that I like this job. I had been working in nonprofit for like 15 years and I was, you know, a director at my agency, and it just felt so empty to me. I would like stare out the window and look at the trees and just be like, I'm just waiting to die. And I'm a dramatic person. So I burned my life down. And I always tell my clients, I'm like, you don't have to burn your life down, but if that's the way that it works for you, then I'll support you while you do this. But I ended up going to South America and doing a retreat. It was for me. I was freelancing. I was like making websites and working remotely. I wasn't looking for work or a job. And within 6 months, I was managing an ayahuasca retreat center. It just like happened where I started volunteering there, and then they, you know, it just really connected, and I had all of this experience in social service, and like I worked for the Red Cross for 8 years. I used to work in substance abuse treatment. I was sober. So I have a lot of experience with like a lot of different kinds of trauma, and the medicine work like happened to me so fast. But what was really hard about it was that I did not know how to be in service and take care of myself. And the place where I was working took advantage of people. Like, there was a work exchange program and people were working for really low wages because it was in Ecuador. And it was this like dream place on the outside, but on the inside, we were working like 50 hours a week. We were doing 4 or 5 ceremonies every 2 weeks, not sleeping, not eating enough. Like, it was pretty traumatic and there was no integration. Like, nobody, the people that were coming were spending money to come down to Ecuador and they were having these transformative experiences. And it was like, bye, thanks for your money. Like, see you. And I was really upset about this. Like, I saw that this was a real problem. And especially for me as a staff member of a place where I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be holding space for people and I'm holding all the space, but I'm not holding space for myself. That's why I started doing integration work. When I left that job, I was completely destroyed. Like, I had to rebuild myself. And part of the way that I did that was I created a program that was the thing that I needed myself, because I didn't know how to, I didn't know that there were all these magical people out here, like like all of you doing this work, and I didn't know how to find what I needed, and when I looked, I couldn't find it. So I was like, I have all this experience in this industry, in retreats, which I think a lot of people don't have. I want to be able to take care of people when they get home, because it doesn't matter what happens at the retreat if you don't have a support system. Like, I've seen people go back to addiction and bad relationships. And like, if you put yourself back in a situation where you got sick in the first place, you're not going to do well. So you don't have to you don't have to burn your life down. And also, this path is not a business is not necessarily like the answer. Like, you have to do your own work in yourself in order to be successful in a service capacity.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing. And I actually love what you said is you created a program for yourself that you needed, that you wanted, that you didn't see out there. And that's what inspired you. It was like, you have to do it for yourself, which actually, this is a lot of my clients. Like, I would say pretty much everybody's gone through some level of like, hey, this is what I had to do for myself, or this is the things that worked, or this is what I wish I had had back when I was going through this. And I think it's so important. It's interesting because I experienced something very similar when I went on my first dieta in Peru. This was, again, before the word integration really wasn't even like used much. And it was just so deep and transformational, and also very challenging to come back to life, you know, everyday life in the city at a JOB and all that. And I was wrecked. Like, I was really wrecked from it. And I was like, wow, that was supposed to be this amazing, incredible, life-changing experience. And I'm having a really hard time. And that's when I was like, I think I need help from someone who understands what it's like to go on a dieta in the jungle, not just like take some mushrooms, but like deep, deep, pretty deep level work. So I'm glad you shared about this. And this is why I think a lot of people are called towards this path of integration, and not just the medicine integration, but all this other work. You know, it's like, it's, to me, integration is the everyday process. It's not just about the one psychedelic experience or the one big mushroom journey. It's about every single day and having informed healers and coaches and therapists in your orbit helping you and supporting you through this path. And I do agree, business is not, you know, it's not always the answer. I do believe you know when you're ready. And I also believe that, hey, if people are feeling called to service and they're at this place on their path, then they should only help the people, you know, here and below, not try to, you know, stretch beyond your belief, you know, beyond your capability to go help people just because your ego wants to, but to really keep yourself in check. Like, what am I capable of really helping people with? So my next question for, you know, all three of you. So I know maybe some have more psychedelic experience than others, but all of you have had spiritual awakenings and spiritual emergence and paths. I'm curious to know, did you find that there was a moment on your spiritual or psychedelic or both path that you just had, you said to yourself, like, I have to go try something else. I have to go give this a try. You know, like, I need to start this business or make this shift, or else I am just not going to be happy. And I'm curious, like, what happened around that? Were you feeling a certain way? Were you just kind of at a breaking point? Was there just like a light bulb moment? I'm curious if you had like any effect on either psychedelics or the spiritual path has had an effect on what you're doing today.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start us off. Yeah. So I graduated with my associate's degree, and right after that, I had a really awful breakup where I was kind of brought down to like rock bottom, and felt like it, at least. Like, it was my first heartbreak. And so from there, it was kind of, we were going through this toxic cycle of like, we get back together and break apart and all this stuff. So I just had a coming to Jesus moment where I was like, I am ready to make some changes. And I was very young. I was 22, I think 21 maybe. And so I was just in a place of like, you know, despair, not sure what direction I'm going, not sure what I'm doing with my life. I don't really want to keep going to college. So I knew I had to break free. And that's whenever I embarked on my kind of heroin journey to go and live in Colorado by myself, where I went to my first music festival, where then I went to Guatemala and lived in an ashram. And that led me to then going down to an ayahuasca center and drinking medicine and volunteering and helping people. So yeah, definitely. Wow. Just had to like pull myself up out of kind of that darkness and despair to become, you know, this psychedelic integration coach now who's helping other people.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And if for anybody that saw last night, we were going to notice that these journeys are all quite similar, where we all go through these initiations and dark nights or awakenings or both. It's usually both. Like the rock, I've been at rock bottom multiple times, like the ultimate, like if I don't make a change, I am probably going to die, or my body was at like a near death experience, or something that was just emotionally so jarring that I knew it was a sign. Like I knew something needed to change. I'm curious, either one of you, Cheyenne or Katrina, want to share about something like this?
So for me, this beginning, I actually started in the beginning of this year in April. Like I started to feel it inside of my body. I got into a depression. I was like, speech therapy in this sense is not really going the way that I want to. And I know that me living my life purpose is really super crucial to just my peace and just joy and stuff like that. So my journey kind of started with me selling this house that I had. You know, a lot of things are like attached to like, you know, being able to like own something and stuff like that. And I had to really let that go because that was like the source of like all of my concerns. Like once I sold the house, I would have the money. I would be able to get out of survival mode and to just really sit with myself and really think about what it is that I wanted to do. I don't have a particular experience with like plants, but I do use like flower. I do use flower essences. Those are really integral on my journey. And I also do spend time with cacao as well. And so throughout this time, those have just been really, 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 really pivotal in me just tuning into my body. Another thing, as I sold that house, gave me that impulse to move to Daytona Beach in Florida. And that's kind of where like everything kind of like aligned and like, you know, and stuff like that. So I definitely like see just the use of just tools to just help you to kind of just like to help you to center in is like super important. And they actually a lot of times they just help me just to stay like grounded and to stay grounded and also to be able to get those signs and stuff like that that I need. It helps for me to like tune my body so that I can be able to see what exactly is being, you know, shown to me. And at this time, it's been super, super helpful. So
Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, it's interesting how many clients I've had in this mastermind program over the years who are actually coming from a business they already had and feeling kind of that misalignment, you know, speech therapists. I've actually had a lot of, you know, even doctors and nurses and therapists, right, Katrina, who, you know, it's like, okay, I like what I do or I like it, but it's not exactly my fullest expression of myself. It's not who I truly am, like where it could really go. And I actually have a bunch of other clients, like I have some private clients who are on this exact same path where they're actually doing great and they have a business, but then it's not fully who they are and really what they know they're capable of. Meaning they know they have a fuller potential. They know they have something more to put out there in the world. And that's where they get to this point where it's like, okay, I could just stay in this comfort zone of going through the motions of seeing clients, or I could do something that feels much more exciting and inspirational and aligned and like the direction of where I want to go, you know, because life continues, you know, unless you're at the actual retirement age, you know, it's like, okay, well, what's next? And we are always, you know, by nature, like we have a choice. Like, we could stay comfortable kind of going through the motions, but that's where people do tend to get the depression, the anxiety, the feeling of meaninglessness, like having no purpose. And I know, cause I was there, and I remember it took a lot of initiations and like my father dying suddenly and me getting really, really sick and really waking up and saying like, something here doesn't feel right. I need to make a change. And that's kind of what started it all off. Katrina, I'm curious, do you have anything to share about, you know, your spiritual path or the medicine path shaping the direction you're going in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, really, it's the only way I think to be true to the path is to be tuned into the spiritual. And for some people, that comes through the use of medicine. For me, my first experience, most of my experience was way before medicine. It came to me spontaneously. And some of that was shaped by my PhD journey. I had been working as a therapist and then decided to go back to school. And through the process of my PhD research on spiritual emergence, realizing I was very much in my own integration process. And that kind of set me up to shift my life, shift my business, kind of come out of the spiritual practice in my therapy work. And then subsequent to that, recognizing, well, this is great. And what I really enjoy doing is serving people in more of a coaching capacity, because even though I enjoy the deep therapy work, what I really do in my personality and the way I show up for people in the world is as a cheerleader, is as a support, is as someone who can help people dig deep and go inside, but in service of growth. And yes, we all have healing to do, but I think some traditional therapies focus a little too much on digging deep into the past and not enough with aligning with the future and where we want to be going. So yeah, for me, you know, I mentioned the burnout of 2020. I had been really giving myself away in nonprofit settings, and I was so aligned with the nonprofits. I was blessed to the executive director of Assist, supporting teaching therapists and coaches about spiritual transformation, how to support clients. I was director of harm reduction with MAPS, which we all know MAPS is an amazing organization doing a lot of heavy lifting, but I was giving myself away. And what I really wanted to do, supporting people in this way, was not available to me because I was stuck on this other level of work. So by continuing to do my own work and be in my own process with medicine, with my spiritual guidance, you know, and coming through all different ways, it's really been supportive in recognizing I like supporting other healers, other helpers. I've always been really enjoyed working with my students and working with the therapists in my practice, supporting them. So this feels like it's the next step for me as I move forward. And I'm still working through my own burnout, but I feel like I'm learning and I want to offer what I've learned so far.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, this is, we talked about this last night and you guys have heard me mention this, that it's, you know, it's not just about what we're doing for our work. You know, yes, the reality is, at least here in the Western world, our work is a big part of our life. You know, it's just, it's like, you know, it's part of life. And because it's such a big part of our life, it has to light us up. It has to feel good. And it's very easy to get caught up in burnout or overgiving or, you know, not being compensated well and maybe giving so much, especially, by the way, I have had a lot of clients come from the nonprofit world as well, where it always feels a little bit imbalanced, where there's a lot of this work and connected to this larger mission, but then you're not getting paid or you're being overworked or it's kind of a dysfunctional. I've had clients mention that it's like not well functioning, let's just say that. And that's not all nonprofits, but some. And, you know, the thing with at least starting your own business and having your own business is you get to really be there to serve others and yourself. You know, it's like this even exchange where you have to be served, you have to feel good, you have to be inspired and lit up. And yeah, if there's a day or a week or even a month where you need a break, you take a break. You know, I do it every year. You guys have witnessed me go offline for a few weeks in Peru because I just needed like the downtime. And it's the only way I can recharge and then come back to really serve. So this is especially this path of transformation, holding space for others, psychedelic work, integration work. You know, you're doing a lot of work that requires a lot of your energy and your heart, and you need to be recharged and bring it into balance. And that's, you know, this whole new paradigm of what we're stepping into in the world is not the old system of just, you know, being a slave to the system to be able to pay the bills. It's a different world that we're entering into, which is like, okay, well, how do we be financially supported, be energetically and emotionally and spiritually supported while we do something that really lights us up and has us feel fulfillment? So my next question is about, because I didn't ask this last night, and I'm curious if you guys have any insights since your journey of being in the mastermind, or even before that, you know, when you started to make this journey into starting your business or making these changes or going from, you know, one thing to another. I'm curious what else you've noticed change that has nothing to do with your business. Like, because I know one of you in particular, I won't say who, but I know you know who you are, said, like, I've noticed that I'm, you know, like feeling more me or being more expressed or, you know, like more authentic or more lit up. I mean, for me in my own journey, I remember the day, like there was this moment where I was like, oh, I feel like liberated, you know, because I'm able to be myself and like run my business on my own terms. Meaning like, hey, if I need to work at night, but take the half more, you know, the full morning off, like I'll do that. It's like, that's the ultimate freedom. I'm curious, you know, what benefits that are not financial, like direct benefits, have you noticed when you've stepped onto this journey? Like, have you noticed other things come up that you maybe think is a kind of like a benefit of taking these steps?
One thing that I really noticed pretty much right away was that if I wanted to step into this role of being a support and, you know, being able to kind of be a leader and guiding other people and in that role, that I had to take care of myself. And it was something like right away, whenever I got into the course, I was like, oh, I am doing the work, but kind of like, not really. And as far as like a daily practice and like really like making sure that I'm good in myself first. And so that has been very helpful to kind of just wake up to that and realize, okay, like if you're going to step up into this leadership role, like you need to get your stuff right and make sure that you're showing up in a clear way every single day. So yeah, that was a big one. And then as well, like I kind of feel like there's some type of relationship between our work and as well, the way you're showing up for your business and your work is also kind of a reflection of how you're showing up in your personal life, in your relationships, in love, in XYZ. And so, yeah, it's kind of all been adjusting since then. So, yeah.
Very true. And I'm glad you brought that up. It is all interconnected because when your work is not a J-O-B job, that, you know, has zero connection to your soul, you know, when you're doing work that's really like deep from that soul level, heart-based place, it is connected to everything around you. You know, it's a little different than going to the 9-to-5 and turning on the switch and turning off the switch. You know, this is like, I always say it gets to the point where, yeah, there's moments of work, but it's not work. It's just, you're living what you're here to do. It's very different. I'm curious, anyone else notice anything? Yeah, Cheyenne?
Yes, prior to joining this container, I felt so fragmented. There was just like so many different pieces of me. And I was trying to like allow them to be one whole version of like who I was. And that was something that was really just like a pain in my butt where I was just feeling like, why can't I just be myself all the time? And since joining this container, what has really happened is like I'm seeing that merging of myself before my very eyes. Like I'm able to be more comfortable and be fully embodied in who I am around my parents, around other people, around colleagues. It doesn't matter. Like it's like Cheyenne, when you see her, that's what you're going to get at this point. And it wasn't always like that. So I think that's just a beautiful testament to just this process of really following your heart and really just being in that space of alignment, that everything is that those like different aspects or those like separateness, it all starts to just form and become one, and you can experience what that wholeness is. And that's really that like that and really that feeling of unconditional love that you have for yourself, you can kind of feel that. And you're like, you know what? No, I love all parts of me, like so deeply, so heavily. And it's just really a beautiful experience to do that. So like, yeah, that's one of like the biggest gifts where I'm like, I don't have to be eight people now.
Oh, thank you for sharing. That's it's so beautiful. I'm sure you guys have heard me say this. I'm very often saying that I believe entrepreneurship is a deep journey into self-love. Because if anything is going to bring your shit to surface, it is stepping into your own business. You know, just because it can get challenging. There can be ups and downs, and the downs get really scary. And of course, and I know this because of my own experience, you know, the old me would just beat myself up. You know, the me who I am now is like, okay, I can just see it and learn the lesson and have compassion and have love and see that, you know, we're all just doing our best and we're not perfect. And that way, you know, you get over it much quicker. You're filled with joy much quicker. You're not, you know, beating yourself up for 3 weeks straight and like spiraling downward. And I've seen this over and over as I've coached people inside of this mastermind program is when you have the support of others to know that, okay, it's not just you going through a challenge. It's like others are going through it too. Oh, then it's kind of like you don't have a reason to beat yourself up because you know it's just normal. When I was beating myself up years ago, I was all alone and I thought I was just like, oh my God, I'm the only person that doesn't know how to do this and I'm a failure. And it was like a horrible experience of crying on my floor, like wanting to quit. And of course, I've designed this program for what I wish I had back then. I'm curious, you know, I want to ask you guys if, and again, we can just go popcorn style if anybody feels called to answer. I'm curious, when was the point in your life and like maybe the last few years or whenever where you said to yourself, something needs to change and I know I'm capable for more, or I feel called to the path of service? Like where you said, okay, I'm doing this now, but I want to do something more. And you decided to like look into making changes or looking into growing a business. I'm curious, like, was there something that happened or an experience? I know Portia had said.
I know. I'll start.
Yeah, tell it. Easy. Yeah, tell it.
Well, it's easy for me. So yes, I mean, back in, again, always knew I was on the path. I mean, right out of, as a young child, I was that kid who was like, oh, look, found an animal. Let me help it. You know, just doing all of that. Bugs, don't kill bugs, all these types of things. So like I said, when I got into management and I realized I thought I was going to be able to make a difference and then I couldn't to the level that I wanted to. And I realized I was just about to be like 34 and I have all of these amazing material things. You know, we own a house, I'm married, I have beautiful, healthy kids, like life from the outside was great, but inside I was like, something is wrong. Like I feel driving to work, I would be like literally feeling like I was going to die on my way to work. I would start downloading these like visions of even death coming to work. And again, we were loading bodies into semi trucks. Like, you know, things during these times were not the normal nursing career anymore. We were basically infantry getting thrown into these things with no protection, no compassion, nothing. We were like, fix it. Or, you know, I mean, it was just very, very traumatic. And so I'm sitting here and I'm looking, my husband has no idea that I'm as far over my level of strength than I even knew, you know, and I'm sitting here like, I can't go back to this job. Like, how do I tell my husband that this career that it set us up for everything that we have in life, how do I tell them I can't do it and I don't want to? So I had this huge identity crisis and feeling like, what do I do? How do I let my family down, let my career down? Like, nurses identify as a nurse. Like, this is not just what I do, this is who I am. And it was a lot. And I woke up and I looked around. I just remember looking around and I just remember saying, I'm going to be happy. Like, that's it. I'm going to be happy. And my husband and I, we started to meditate, we started doing yoga. And so those things were already in play. And then, you know, he was trying to help me and tell me, like, you know what to do. You've literally been helping patients from severely mentally impaired to
to not and just needing, like, you know, acute crisis intervention. He's like, you have all these tools. Why can't you use them on yourself? And all of us know it's always so hard to help ourselves, even when we know how to. So, like I said, I just told him I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, he opened it up and was like, I think we should try psilocybin. And I had never tried it. I was always worried because I did come from a long childhood filled of trauma, from all different types of abuse to always feeling like I didn't belong to this family. Like, how did I even get here? And now today I know, and I know that I went through all of that. So I can be relatable to all of my patients, my family, my friends that I'm able to help and get through, and that I'm thankful for. And I've been able to develop a level and a sense of gratitude through all of my hard trauma that I've went through. So I'm super thankful for that, but it would not have happened if I didn't take that journey. And I mean, and I've done Cambo. I've been trained to be a practitioner for Cambo, done ayahuasca, you know, I've done these other plant medicines, but psilocybin has just truly, every time I do it, it just speaks to me. And again, it was like, hey, you don't want to do this. It's all about love, as most people get these downloads about, you know, everything is about love, and you don't have to put yourself in. So I had this whole real, you know, the reality change. And when I came out of this journey, I knew that I wouldn't go back. And I was fortunate to have my spouse and my family who were on board. So as a collective family unit, we literally were able to lift ourselves out of this almost like this tunnel of just negativity, essentially, you know, going into the hot, my husband's also in healthcare. So we're both going into massive negative energy, bringing it home. And so we both made that collective decision to say, we're not going to do it anymore. And then we went down the path of how do I get financially stable? And I was, like so many people, never taught how to manage finances. They didn't teach us this in school. They still don't teach us this in school. I had credit cards for days. I was buying $10 smoothies on a credit card when I was 18 years old, paying $500 later, like just insane. And unfortunately, you know, I did end after going through a past divorce, again, more trauma. I did have to finally file for bankruptcy, which was a huge hit on my ego and even my alter identity at that time. Like, what do I do? But I took that and I said, look, like, this is a restart. I started, it was literally like I was reborn by getting into this lifestyle of energy work and realizing my energy and how I control and convert my energy is how I decide what comes back to me. And when psilocybin has taught me and the mushrooms taught me, hey, you're going to grow and you're going to be so in tune with nature. I mean, it just doesn't get any closer to using your land to provide the nutrients that you're, you know, living off of. So it is a mutual benefit, but that was really the turning point for me, was basically being in such a traumatic situation that, you know, when you grow up and you're stuck with being in trauma, you can't get out, you know, you're a kid. But when you're an adult and you realize the only way out is up, like, that was kind of where we were. And if it wasn't for my husband and the family who supported and jumped on board and we all did it together, I can see how this could have totally taken a turn from the worst, just like so many people who do plant medicines and are unable to have that integration and unable to decipher what's reality and what's not for them. So that's just really what it went. And with that, I just made sure that anything that we do moving forward, I mean, we were lucky, like I said, we got rid of our finances and we've never gotten another credit card, never, we built our house. We don't have any debt surrounding that. We're free and clear. Like, we really did go through that very, very hard time where you're sitting here looking at each other, like, let's just hope we can get through this. And we are sitting here now, like, you know, we're reaping these rewards and we're just spending the rest of our days trying to help other people do what we did and be self-sustainable, you know, medicine from your backyard, make it yourselves, grow it yourselves, cook it yourselves. And with the food shortages and everything that's coming, everybody should at least know how to do some basic stuff, because it's definitely coming.
I know I said something to my friend yesterday. I was like, you know, the food prices, I might have to actually get chickens, which I've wanted for years, by the way. I just travel too much to deal with the poor chickens. But no, the one part of Portia's story that I really love the most is that you had a, you know, you got to the breaking point, which all of us have gotten to, like the downward spiral. And you declared, I want to be happy. Like, I deserve joy. I will not suffer this way anymore. And it's kind of like, that's what happened on my path. And I'm sure many of you, and you know, when you want to share, if you want to share, there is a point where you get to this ultimate, what I say, it's this ultimate decision of like, okay, you have a life. You have two directions, the downward spiral or the upward spiral. And it's kind of like the very first step is just declaring like, you know what? I'm sick of being miserable. Because I remember I was at that same point where I knew, and I said, I did a podcast interview today and I said, if I had kept going, I probably would be dead by now. The direction I was going so far down that it was kind of like Portia said, I was seeing like my potential like death coming sooner versus later. And maybe, you know, not by accident. It was kind of just like, well, if this is what it's all about, it's spiraling that far downward. But I remember it got to this point where I was like, wait a second, I don't want to live like this anymore. Like, I know this isn't what it's about. Yeah. Yes, there are challenges in life. And yes, we are going to be resilient and get through them. But we honestly do have a choice to choose like which direction we want to intentionally at least take our life in. So thank you so much for sharing. I'm curious, anyone else, Jules, you want to share a moment?
Yeah. I always do things a little bit backwards, so you'll understand when I start describing it. I was sitting in our sauna in our side yard during COVID, and we had just been told that we could go back to work, and after being told that we could no longer work and all of the ebbs and flows that everyone, I'm sure, here has experienced during COVID, and I was meditating, and all of a sudden I was told, it's not right for you to be here anymore. And I was like, what do you mean it's not right for you to be here anymore? It's like, oh, what do you mean? It's like, it's not right for you to be here anymore. And it was that voice that I know so well because I do so much work, you know, work with people. That's the loud voice. That's the instinct. That's the intuition that you can't ignore, or else it will scream louder in some other situation, or, you know, kick you if it needs to. And I was like, holy cow, we have to leave. And I have to understand, my practice, a year wait list for new clients. I was very busy. I had been treating people since the time they were, you know, their parents were trying to conceive to the time they were 16 years old. Like, it was an entire family-based practice, to which I love deeply all of my clients. And it was very clear that we had to leave. And I didn't know why, just that it was really clear. And even just telling the story makes me want to cry just a little bit thinking about it. But we left from Ontario. We moved across the country to a village I had never lived in, never been to before, a small fishing village on the Bay of Fundy, not knowing exactly why, but knowing it was really important. And then once getting here, slowing down so much to the degree that I never would have slowed down this much, ever. Nothing could have slowed me down as much as moving here. And in doing so, I got to actually do the work on myself that I just never had the time to go as deep and immersive into, to talk with the bald eagles and to converse with the dolphins and the, like, everything that the harbor porpoises, but just being present and slow and with Mother Ocean and just slowing down to the degree that then I was able to access what you did, Portia, realizing like, oh my gosh, like, I needed to leave there like that. That was not helping me grow. It was keeping them stuck and keeping me stuck in a paradigm that was no longer working for everybody. When I left, the people that I mentored got to take over and step into their power. It was like, it was the most phenomenal thing ever that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have left. All those people who were reliant on me and dependent on me, they had to depend on themselves. They had to reach out for help to others. They had to step outside of their comfort zone. We were all getting more comfortable with being uncomfortable in that whole situation. And I didn't realize until afterwards that I was caught in a paradigm of living the life that I saw modeled by my mom, and thinking I just had to step into that, and I had the house I wanted and all the money that we needed. And, you know, the kids were at the schools they wanted to go to, and everything was like so perfect, but I had like attained that level, and still it wasn't the level that I wanted to get to. It was the level that my mom wanted to get to, or that society wanted me to get to. And now stepping into being an intuitive mentor, an embodiment coach, and actually like stepping in an entirely different way, this feels more authentic to me. Learning more about my own human design and experimenting with that and becoming uncomfortable and leaning into the discomfort in brand new ways has illuminated me to that. And I never would have done that if I hadn't have had that like aha moment. And I do remember this one time when we went to our property, it's called Massage by Nature, where we do forest bathing here. And I had taken myself on my own journey with, thanks to psilocybin, put my tent down beside a river. And I was talking to this patch of land that happens to be our land now, and that we're stewarding. And I said, wow, this is so beautiful. Like, it just pulled me into it. And it said, thank you so much for coming back. And I was like, coming back? What do you mean? And then I was reminded of this promise that I made to come back. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that I forgot about the promise. And it was like, no, you didn't. Look, you're here. And I was like, oh, mind blown. I love psilocybin for that, because it's so magical. but that, like, everything coming together and remembering that we have no freaking clue of the amazing multi-sensory, multi-dimensional playground that is at play when we think that we have control over anything. And that's the reminder that I get when I'm playing inside of people's bodies, and any part of me that tries to go, oh, this should happen, I go, oh yeah, and I have no idea what is supposed to happen, but their body does and their consciousness does, and all I need to do is hold space for it. And that's always when the magic happens. And so that was my big, like, backwards transformational connecting moment. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh my God. Again, I'm like teary and chills, and I could break out crying any second now. Again, it was interesting on this podcast interview today. The girl I interviewed, I've known for years, but I haven't really known her. We're just like very interconnected. And halfway through the conversation, I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot that me and her have like these very similar backgrounds. And she tells a story about like these crazy life changes and moving and like being guided towards this and this. And I was like, wow, this is so similar. Like, we don't know. There is no security. We have no idea what's bound to happen in our reality. We want to know, you know, it's the human mind is just so like, we want to grasp onto the, how is it going to look 10 minutes from now or 10 years from now or 1 year from now? But the more we're in tune with these like signs and synchronicities and the deep level of listening, it's like, it can open up whole new worlds. That's why, and I was telling her, you know, during this interview, I was like, yeah, my, you know, it's a business coaching program, yes, but in the end, it's not just about business. It's like our soul's journey. It's our life. It's all interconnected. Like our work, which I don't put in separate categories anymore. You know, back when I had a job that I hated, it was just my work. You know, but when you're on this depth of a path, it's like you're just doing what you're here to embody, you know, like you're just doing you. And then all these other things start to open up, you know, and we can get like super uncomfortable situations. We can be guided to go pick up and move. I've had people in this program like manifest relationships and end relationships. I've had people, you know, multiple deaths. I've also had marriages and births, you know, people like totally moving homes, people joining the program and getting laid off from jobs like 2 weeks later. I mean, it's actually happened every year, which is very odd, but it's like, I do believe, hey, you know, there's something beyond that we cannot control. And the more resilience we have and the more we can learn to work with it and see it differently and like not have that like that clinginess, it's like, who knows what can open up, you know, like we don't know. I don't know where my business is going to be 2 years from now. I mean, I feel like I do, but who knows? This is the reality we live in. And the more you're in this path of like, okay, getting out of the comfort zone, because for Jules to stay in the practice that had waiting list in a town that you've been in, you know, family, of course it would have been easier, you know, it's like, but then we are just like nature. We're here to grow and expand, you know? And it's like, yeah, of course it would be easy for all of us to just stay in the same thing over and over and over and over. But in my personal opinion, what I've seen over the years is that is actually some of the root cause of the major mental illness that we have here in the Western world. Is this like, you know, rat race of just trying to make ends meet and staying in the comfort zone and, you know, the fear of getting uncomfortable and the fear of taking risks that involve like listening to our heart or listening to the guidance and the intuition. And so that's why I keep saying it's like, well, we're facing this mental health crisis. A lot of people are turning to medicine work or microdosing or ketamine or whatever. And it's like, well, wait a second, what's actually at the root of all that? You know, and that's a whole nother conversation. But does anyone else have any stories to share about that moment you wanted to? Yeah, Kelly, please.
It's probably cliche because a death doula, of course, is death. Of course, it's, you know, having a brain tumor and going for surgery and then waking up 3 days later alive. And that I had said my goodbyes and, you know, was like, yep, it's over. And it was okay with that because I attribute it to starting to meditate when I was 19 and doing death practices for 20 years. And then it's just like, it's natural, you die. So I was alive and I had to kind of figure out why I was alive. And so I concluded it's something about sharing that death is not scary. It doesn't have to be bad. So I became a hospice volunteer and went in the training of the hospice volunteer. I remember my instructor saying that death is an indoor sport. And that's when I rose to the challenge of, I want to bring nature into the dying and the death process. And it's just been challenging to figure out how to bring nature and what that means. And so it's through the end of life doula training that there's ways of incorporating meditations that just focus on nature and just bringing awareness to the fact that right now we do practice dying in hospitals that are not connected to nature, and that you can choose to have a die a different way. And then giving your body as a gift back is kind of the connection with the mycelium, and that it was through taking a year to live that I planned my own funeral. And that when I had my brain surgery, I kind of, you know, was like, whatever my husband wants to do, it doesn't matter to me because I'm gone. But then I realized that I can actually give back. So I found out the mycelium burial suit. And that has just brought me with the mushrooms, and that my, you know, spirit has died. It has been telling me is Amanita muscaria, that is really opened up my, like, oh, this is your path that you're going to take to try to help with home funerals with individuals, and then with medical aid and dying right now. That seems to be coming to me as opposed to me going searching for and voluntary stopping eating and drinking. So it's death in a nutshell.
Kelly, I'm just seriously blown away. I'm like, what? We need to hear more about this mycelium death thing. I'm like, that actually sounds like my dream come true. I would love to give my body back to the earth, like quite literally. Because I've always thought like, well, cemeteries, you know, I don't want to be buried. That's just so weird. But I wouldn't mind if it was ritualized and given and like somehow put into, you know, like given back. And, or like, I mean, if I could choose today, by the way, for the record, if I die in the next, like, you know, when you guys know me, just bury me over there by my beehives, please. But Kelly, I have a quick question. Did you die and then like experience the experience of, you know, what we all hear about near-death experiences, that people go see the white light and it's all love and we all know oneness? Did you have that experience?
Western medicine really made it unconscious, and it was a brain tumor. So the medical records do show that I stopped breathing for a period of time. But I, at the time, would not say that I saw the light during, it was, you know, 3 days that I was in the neuro ICU and don't remember it because of the medication that was just, you know, so coma. And then when I came to, it was just weird and, you know, I was an ant crawling in the web of life and, you know, the psychedelic experience, but it was just not the psychedelic medicine. It was the Western medicine.
Oh my God, this is amazing. There's, by the way, I've had more and more conversations with people over the years, especially, you know, those of us on this deep spiritual path intuitively know that there's a better way. You know, even my own father, who was not, I mean, I think on some level he was spiritual, he just didn't let us know. But, you know, anyways, that's a whole long story. He used to say, like, just, you know, when I'm sick, like, I don't want to be treated, just throw me the wolves. Like, that was his guidance. Throw me to the wolves. Like just this idea of, like, I just want to be given back to nature. I want to be able to, like, not be kept alive unnaturally. And I want to be just, you know, in this cycle or in this ritual. Of course, you know, unfortunately, the way things went with the system, once he got admitted to the hospital, we weren't able to just, like, pull him out and throw him to the wolves, even though we were actually in the process of bringing him home. And then he ended up dying. But it's interesting because this has come up so much with a lot of people. I think especially people who have experienced these, like, deep shamanic experiences through not just plant medicines, but even with, you know, Vipassana, meditation, being on the Buddhist path, being on spiritual paths that are centered around this process of dying and life, like life around dying, which honestly, that was the beginning of me stepping into entrepreneurship, was when my dad died. I already knew I was called to entrepreneurship. I was just really scared to go for it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what it looked like. But once he died, there was just something that woke up inside of me that really said, like, okay, wait, if we're just gonna die prematurely a few years after we retire from our jobs, what's the point of all this? And that's like, it was just like something snapped in me where I was like, I'm not gonna live life like that. Like, this is one incarnation. We don't know when it's gonna end. And so there is this aspect of, you know, embracing death as this catalyst for the choices we make, which includes the work that we do, how we want to serve, the joy that we feel every morning when we wake up out of bed. I personally, and I'm sure you guys too, as entrepreneurs, other than being just tired for God knows what reason, which happens here and there, I have not had that feeling of dread in the morning since the last time I remember consciously feeling it was like, around 2012, 2013 was the last time I remember really feeling like the dread. And I haven't ever since, because I went and, like, changed my life around and changed my career and stepped into this path of doing what I wanted to be doing. And yeah, it was freaking hard. And many, many times it still is hard sometimes, but I don't feel that dread of getting out of bed. Like, ugh. You know, back when I had a career that I hated, it was like, I did not want to get out of bed, period, you know? And that's the whole point of this. It's like, we all have the human right to live life in the fullest, which means, like, being inspired to get out of bed, being inspired by what we do. It doesn't mean there won't be challenges. It doesn't mean there's going to be ups and downs. Like, of course there's going to be. That's the human experience. But really, it is our human birthright to enjoy our lives. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you're feeling inspired, I'd appreciate it if you showed your love with a review. And check out my YouTube channel where you can find the video version of this podcast. You can also head to bethaweinstein.com to learn more about me and grab my free business growth trainings. Remember, you carry your own unique medicine, and your medicine is what we need for these times.